Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
To welcome you all to the What to Expect During Your Stage 1 Audit webinar. My name is Joseph Krolikowski. I am the QMS Program Manager for Perry Johnson Registrars. Our presentation today is going to address a couple of things. We're going to discuss why certification is done in two stages. And we're going to kind of take you through the process, starting with quotation, some of the things that happen prior to the stage one, what happens during the stage one, and probably most importantly, we're going to go over what can prevent continuance to stage two and what you should do if there are some issues that are raised during your stage one audit. I'll have a couple of concluding remarks, and then we will address your questions. Now, as to why certification is done in a two-stage process, the short version is we are required to do this. PJR is an accredited certification body. We're accredited by several accreditation bodies, and probably the primary document that we're held accountable to is the ISO 17021-1 standard. Now, that standard includes a clause that reads as follows. The initial certification audit of a management system shall be conducted in two stages, stage one and stage two. Now, the logic behind this is that only a company that is truly prepared for a certification assessment should be allowed to go through the full audit. It's a way to kind of separate those companies that are ready from those companies that are not ready. Obviously, before we can issue you a auditor and get you going on a stage one audit, you have to be a contracted client. And one of the first documents that you'll see when you engage with PJR is an application. We have several of these. They are referred to as the F1 series. Now, these documents are complex. The shortest one, I believe, is 2 pages. I do think we have one that runs actually to over 2.5 pages. But it's complex with a reason. We want to gather a lot of different information about you. And the reason for that is we want our quotation to be competitive. We want to put our best foot forward. And the more information that you can give us, the better position we'll be in to give you a competitive offer for auditing services. Now, you may be wondering, where does required audit time come from? Well, there is an internationally binding document. It's actually from the International Accreditation Forum, or IAF, and it is their mandatory document, or MD number 5. Now, that document stipulates all of the ground rules associated with audit time, including discounts of audit time. So one of the things we always like to caution new clients about is if you've given two certification bodies the same information, same employee count, the same scope of work, et cetera, and you have quotations that are just wildly different between those two certification bodies, something's wrong. Because the IAF MD5 has strict requirements in terms of what we can and cannot discount audit time for. So just be wary of that if you are shopping around for certification bodies. Now, prior to the stage one, you will be assigned to what we call an audit program coordinator. You will probably refer to them as your scheduler. And your scheduler is going to be your primary point of contact. They're going to handle your account from start to finish. They'll be the one that you reach out to on audit results, on scheduling follow-up, and so forth. Now, our schedulers are trained first and foremost to assign an auditor that's qualified in your standard, and they also have to be competent in your technical area. So if you have a very unique scope of business, if you're working in something that we don't have too many clients in, that can, not necessarily will, but it can limit the auditor pool. So bear that in mind if you're wondering, why are we not sending an auditor from up the street? It may have something to do with the line of work that you're in. Now, before the stage one audit takes place, one of the things that you will receive from your scheduler is a document called the F-108. Now, this is an attestation statement. You're saying we are ready for our stage one. Let's go ahead and take a look at what you're going to find in that F-108 series of documents. Now, as I mentioned, they are intended to give you a space to say, yes, we are ready for the stage one audit. And when you fill that form in, you need to confirm a number of things. Now, these are going to vary a little bit in some cases from standard to standard, but most of these are exactly what you will find. You need to confirm that you've defined your scope. You need to confirm that you've defined what your processes are and how those processes interact with each other. You need to confirm that you have both defined your process measures, your KPIs, and that you have performance data associated with those KPIs, that you've made arrangements for your internal audit process, for your management review process, that your documentation has been put together, and ideally that you've completed PJR Form F-191, which we're going to be going over a bit on the next slide here. Now, the F-191, this is a document that we've had for a very long time. It still seems to bring some confusion to our new clients when this is sent out. What this document is intended to do is to help you demonstrate that the processes you've established for your management system, that these represent a fulfillment of all the clauses of the applicable standard. So what you're supposed to do with this is to take your interaction of processes and assign the clause numbers accordingly. So let's work our way through an example here. Let's say that this is your interaction of processes. Now you'll note in the lower left-hand corner, we have six processes that this organization has identified. So we have sales order entry, purchasing, production, shipping, quality, and support. So let's go ahead and organize those six processes on the F-191. So here's how this is filled in. Now you'll note that in some cases, the process only really touches on a couple of clauses. Purchasing, as you can see, only touches on two clauses. In some cases, there are clauses that hit every process. 7.5 hits every process, for example. You'll also note that section 8.3, that's been left blank. We can probably presume that this organization is not design responsible, and that's why that column has been left blank. Now, again, this is intended to demonstrate that you've implemented a system broad enough that all of the requirements of the standard have been accounted for. That's the idea. That's the idea here. That's why we do this. Now, our stage one audits ideally are conducted on site. We do conduct off-site stage one audits for simple ISO 9001 management systems. There is a savings in travel, obviously, with that, but most of the time it ends up meaning more overall audit time. Now, before the auditor arrives for the audit, you should expect to be contacted at least a few days in advance of the stage one. This is whether it's being done on site or not. And you should expect to receive an audit plan. And we definitely encourage you to look over that audit plan, make sure all of the information in the audit plan is correct, and let your auditor know if it isn't. Your auditor is working from information that was developed based on your application, based on the communication that we've had with you up to that point. Now, we do obviously offer a virtual stage one audit option. If you are interested in a virtual stage one, which is not the same thing as an offsite stage one, let your scheduler know and they will provide you with some more details. Now, the audit, like every other audit, is going to begin with an opening meeting. Opening meetings are actually required regardless of the audit type. Now, this is going to be a good chance for you to confirm any last minute changes and to make sure that your auditor is aware of any critical information, any visitors that you're going to have, key personnel availability issues, and so forth. And from there, the stage one audit will proceed in accordance with the auditor's plan. Now, we actually have designated workbooks just for the stage one audit process, excuse me. Because the stage one is unique in terms of what is looked at during the assessment, this is why we have designated stage one workbooks. Now, just about everything that's going to be looked at in a stage one audit is going to be documentation based in nature. And every item that the auditor looks at is going to result in one of two possibilities. Either the item is going to be judged that it conforms, or it's going to be flagged as being a concern. And a concern is going to be anything that represents a disconnect between what you've implemented and the related requirement from the applicable standard. We're going to go over some of the common items and how these might be perceived in the stage one audit process. Now, once the auditor has completed their review, typically they're going to need some time to prepare their audit report. There are no nonconformances that are issued in a stage one audit. As I mentioned, there are only concerns. Once the report is put together, you should expect to have a closing meeting where the auditor will go over what the results of the stage one audit were, give you a chance to ask questions, that sort of thing. And there are three potential outcomes of a stage one audit. You could be recommended for continuance to stage two with no concerns. That's obviously the ideal outcome. Probably the most common outcome, recommending for continuance to stage two with some concerns. And then potentially, if things have been especially worrisome in terms of what was seen, it is possible that the auditor will recommend a repeating of the stage one audit. Now, you'll be asked to sign an acknowledgement of the stage one results, and you will be given a copy of the completed audit report. Now, in some cases, if the audit is on site and the auditor has kind of a tight travel schedule, it may be a few additional days before you receive the finalized report. But definitely with a stage one audit, in most cases, the report can be provided the same day. Now, in terms of concerns that can prevent continuance to a stage two audit, there's a few items that we need to highlight here. Beginning with an inadequate or inappropriate interaction of processes. So if the auditor asks for your interaction of processes and you present a PDCA diagram that's repeating what's in the ISO 9001 standard, if you give the auditor something that lists the sections of ISO 9001 as your processes, if it is an item that's been provided by a consultant and it bears no resemblance to what your processes actually are, these are all to be regarded as highly concerning. Remember that you should be documenting an interaction that is unique to your organization. Among other things, we highly recommend that you view our webinar entitled The Interaction of Processes and Its Importance to a Successful Audit. This is a great resource for understanding this requirement and what is expected of you. Your interaction of processes is going to be the single best indicator that you understand the process approach prescribed in ISO 9001. So if this is not in place properly, this is setting off a lot of red flags, a lot of alarms right away. Another big concern can be if you have not defined your measures of process effectiveness. Now, there are several places in ISO 9001 where this requirement is mentioned. It states that you need to monitor and measure and analyze your processes. So understand that our expectation is that every process on your interaction of processes document, all of your named processes, should be monitored or measured. And there is supposed to be performance data available to prove that you are doing these this monitoring and measurement. Now, there are some standards that have minimum requirements for how much data is supposed to be available. In most cases, ISO 9001 included, as long as there's something, even a few weeks worth of data, that will be considered sufficient. Now, there are some organizations, particularly smaller organizations, that may choose to have just a few measures of effectiveness that cover all of their processes. Now, that is considered an acceptable practice as long as you can explain the intent during the audit. If you have not performed an internal audit, if you've not conducted the audit planning or things of that nature, that may potentially prevent continuance to the stage two audit. You know, we're looking for things like, are the internal audits planned? Are there notes? Are there reports to show that things were actually audited? Did you respond to internal audit nonconformities and so forth? Did you ensure that your internal auditors did not audit their own work? Now, if at the point of your stage one audit, you have not had your internal audit, that you can demonstrate to your auditor that it's been planned, we may still be in a position to recommend continuance to stage two. But if that's the approach that's taken, you lose the benefit of getting feedback on your internal audit process prior to the stage two. Now, bear in mind with the stage one audit, it's going to be the one and only time in your certification life that you get a free shot. An auditor can come in, they can look at your internal audit records and say, okay, good try, but this is concerning, and this is concerning. You then have a chance between stage one and stage two to fix those issues. That's not a chance that you'll get at stage two or at your surveillance audits. If it's a concern by then, it's going to be a nonconformance. So definitely take advantage of the free look, if you will, that you get during the stage one audit. If you have not defined the means of internal auditor competency, that could potentially prevent continuance to a stage two audit. Now understand that internal audit competency is no different than any other competency in your organization. You're allowed to define competent however you see fit. But whatever you establish as your protocol, you need to stick with it. You need to show us that you have met those requirements for whomever performed your internal audit for you. Now, there are some standards, automotive being one good example, where there are minimum expectations for internal auditor competency. Another possibility that will prevent continuance to a stage two audit is a management review that has not taken place. Now, with management review, a couple things you need to bear in mind. Remember that there is a list of required inputs and outputs from ISO 9001. You'll find those, I believe, in section 9.3. Bear in mind that those items all have to be discussed, but there is no requirement that they all be discussed at the same time or even using the same tools. You know, a lot of our clients, they like to use PowerPoint slides for their management review meeting. That's great, but it's not mandatory. A lot of our clients like to use a standardized agenda form. That's also great, but it's also not mandatory. So you need to decide for yourself what is an effective means of ensuring that the management review process covers all the required discussion topics, but whatever you implement, it needs to be effective. Now, again, just like the internal audit, if you do not have your management review prior to stage one, but you can demonstrate that it's been planned to take place prior to stage two, that's fine. But again, you lose your free look. It's possible that there may be things that the auditor can give you some feedback on during that stage one that you can then fix and avoid a non-conformance later during stage two. Now, all of our stage one audits are subject to review by a member of the PJR Executive Committee. And we do that to make sure that the decisions reached are appropriate and fair. Now, if you have had a stage one audit and you feel that it was not fair, that the conclusion that was reached was not appropriate, you do have the right to dispute or appeal the auditor's decision. Now, the process for filing a dispute is discussed in PJR Procedure Pro 10, and Pro 10 is available for download direct from our website. Anytime you need to get your hands on that, it is available right on the homepage of the website. Now, if the recommendation is to repeat the stage one audit, as I mentioned, you will get the audit report. We encourage you to work from that audit report to shore up the issues that were raised during the stage one audit. And you're absolutely permitted to keep in touch with your auditor, with us here at headquarters, to discuss your remediation actions and to make sure that you're on the right path to having a better result at the next stage one audit. Now, if the recommendation is to proceed, and just about all of our stage one audits result in a recommendation to proceed to stage two, ideally there's going to be some time between stage one and stage two, preferably 60 to 75 days. You know, bear in mind that we do have a 21-day cancellation policy. You know, we have clients that come to us from time to time and they want to do the stage one and stage two back to back. There's provisions where we can do that, but usually it ends up being problematic for both us and for the client. So give yourself a chance to have some time between those two areas. Excuse me, or those two events. And also use that time between the stage one and the stage two to work on anything that was identified as a concern during the stage one. Because anything that was identified as a concern during stage one is most likely going to be cited as a nonconformance during stage two. These issues are not going away. So best to take care of them while you have the chance. So, in conclusion, we want our clients to feel confident and comfortable with the stage one audit process. We hope that the care that's taken prior to stage one and the support of both your auditor and our team here at PJR are going to help you feel that this process is seamless and value added. And we do wish you every success in your certification journey. I'd like to invite you to tune in for one of our other webinars. I have a special presentation on ISO 9001 called Knowing What to Expect to Ensure a Stress-Free Audit. We do this one about twice a year. It goes over fundamental issues that are inherent to ISO 9001, and we try to make sure that you know what to expect so that you're ready on audit day. And the aforementioned interaction of processes and its importance to a successful audit. This one is also shown about twice a year. It's an exploration of processes and how to correctly understand them. And PJR has webinars on a whole lot of other things. We have webinars on various standards, on our food safety standards, and so forth. Lots of great content. If you'd like to be kept informed of the latest news automatically, the best way for you to do that is to visit our website at www.pjr.com. Go to the bottom of the page, enter your email address, and click subscribe. You will be opted in for automatic updates on changes to the standard, upcoming webinars, and other points of information. I do thank you for your time. At this time, I'll be glad to address any questions that folks have. Marcus Gossenhofer asks, will the same auditor be used for stage one and stage two? Marcus, in most cases, that's going to be the case. The only possible exception to that is going to be if the stage one is being done off-site. In most cases, we try to assign the stage one off-site audits to a full-time auditor working here at our headquarters location, which means you will most likely have someone new for the stage two assessment. But that is the exception. Most of the time, we absolutely want the same auditor to be visiting you for both stage one and stage two and for the audits to follow. Any other questions I can answer today? Okay, well, thank you all for your time. Have a great day.